إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي بمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Inshallah, this is going to be a continuation of the explanation of the book Al-Muntaqa min Akhbar al-Mustafa by Sheikh Majduddin Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah. Babu man salla ala markubin najisin aw asabat'u najasa. This chapter has to do with the one who observed salah ala markubin najisin on a filthy ride. Aw qad asabat'u najasa, or that has been affected by a filth. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu قال, from Abdullah, the son of Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said, رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي على حمار وهو متوجه إلى خيبر. رواه أحمد ومسلم والنسائي وأبو داود. Abdullah ibn Umar says, I saw the Prophet observing Salah on a donkey, وَهُوَ مُتَوَجِّهٌ إِلَى خَيْبَرٍ, why he was headed for Khaybar. So Al-Imam Ahmad and Imam Muslim, likewise Al-Imam Nasai and Abu Dawood, reported this. وعن أنس أنه رأى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي على حمار وهو راكب إلى خيبر والقبلة خلفه. الإمام ابن ساي عليه رحمة الله have this report from Anas that he saw the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم observing Salah on a donkey. وهو راكب إلى خيبر, riding to خيبر, والقبلة خلفه, why the قبلة was behind him. That is this addition, the قبلة behind him. So the issue has to do with حمار, that is donkey. Donkey is an animal that you cannot eat. Is an animal that we cannot eat because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade it. But at the same time, it is min al-tawafin alaykum wa tawafat. The donkey is among the animals that are always with us, just like the cat, just like the rat. So they are always at home. So and animals that are tawafuna alayna wa tawafat, those animals, the correct view is that they are not filthy. They are not filthy. They are just like, that is, some of them are just like human beings. You know, human beings, we can eat a human being, just as we cannot eat a donkey. You can eat a cat. You cannot eat a rat. All these animals you can eat, just as you cannot eat a human being. The fact that you cannot eat a human being does not mean that human being is what? Filthy. Is an impurity. No. So we cannot say the donkey is also an impurity because we can't eat that. Because we can't eat it. So they are pure. They are pure. But the feces or the dung of human, of a donkey, a cat, a rat, their dungs are what? Are impure. Just as the feces of human being is also impure. The urine of a donkey, a cat, a rat, their urine are what? Their urine are impure. Just as the urine of human being is pure, is impure. But they are not filthy. That is, their body is not what? Is not a filth. But their urine and what's it called? And their feces or their dungs are impure. The saliva of a donkey is pure. The saliva of a cat is pure. The saliva of a rat is what? Is pure. Now, we have a different thing, or it is a different matter, that maybe some rat contract or maybe a disease that may spread this Lassa river, a fever of a thing or so. This is another thing entirely. It can happen to a rat, it can to a cat, it can happen to other animals that we won't watch, that we consume. At times, they may tell us that maybe in some places, maybe in Britain or in France, or maybe some animals have watched, have contracted some disease that they want people not to eat them, maybe for a particular period because of what they are watching, what they've contracted and what they are watching, what they are spreading. So I think here in Nigeria, it is common that maybe if a rat maybe eat from the food, maybe there is something of a Lassa fever. In fact, the word Lassa has to do with a place in Nigeria. And you check the dictionary, they tell you it's a place in Nigeria. So where that thing first happened. So they gave it that name, that is the fever. They gave it Lassa because of where it first happened. But that doesn't mean that the leftover of a rat is what is like that throughout the world. How this is like. So maybe something may happen that will make them carry that the disease. What I'm trying to say is that the saliva of those animals that are not eatable, so we need to say what their saliva is what? Is it filth. Huh? And that's why when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about performing ablution with the watch leftover of a cat, he said in na'a laysat the najis in na'a min at-tawafin alaykum wa tawafat, so it's not najis. You can perform ablution with the leftover water of a cat. But if it is proven medically that maybe a disease is being spread by what, some cat, in that case will not be applying that hadith. Why? Because it has been proven at that particular time that maybe some cat in a particular area of contracted maybe a particular disease. And this can also happen to a cow, it can happen to any other animal like that. So what I'm trying to say in essence is that donkey is not an impurity. It's pure. Yes, the feces or the dung, so to say, of a donkey and the dung of a cat, rat, they all watch impurities, just like the feces of human beings and watch their urine. How this is like. So the fact that you cannot eat an animal does not mean that animal is impure. does not mean the animal is impure. So now, riding on a donkey, undoubtedly a donkey will sweat. A donkey watch will sweat. So if the donkey is a filthy animal, it means that the sweat, if it touches our body, our clothes, the clothes becomes what? Impure. But we never have something of sort from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He will ride on what? On donkey. How this is clear. So, and that's why it will be incorrect to classify donkey as one of the impure animals. We can't treat it like what? Like a pig. We can't treat it like a pig. Then the issue of why the Qibla is behind him. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attempts to observe Nafila on his mount. Qibla ayy wajhin tawajjaat bi. That he is facing wherever the mount was facing. Though at times he will start by facing the Qibla. But when the mount was not facing the Qibla according to the journey, he would still pray the Nafila why the mount or the ride was not facing the Qibla. So this is with respect to Nafila. But in a compulsory Salah, the basis is that you should, it is compulsory that you face the Qibla. But when you are unable to do that, la yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Like somebody is on board the plane, for instance, and the way the plane is facing is difficult for him to want to face the Qibla. Meaning it's not allowed by the hostesses in the plane to watch to pray standing. Maybe towards the toilet area, they don't allow people to stay there. He has to stay on his seat. And if he sits on his seat, they watch. The plane is not facing the Qibla. So in that case, we say, well, la yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. And when we talk about the akab shuruti salah, the most emphatic condition of salah, it is the time. The time. It's more emphatic than what istiqbal al-qibla, facing the Qibla. More emphatic than what? Than fatul awra. More emphatic than praying in what? In a pure garment. So if one will, if the time will go out, one is faced with maybe allowing the time of the salah to go out. And the salah is not salah that you can combine with the next salah. Allowing the time, it's time to go out and praying in a garment that is impure. Which one should one do? So one will pray in that garment because akad shuruti salah, the most emphatic of the conditions of salah is what? And walk through is the time. Babu salah ala al-fara wal-busut wa ghayri ma min al-mafarij. The chapter of salah on al-fara. Al-fara, the jam of farwun or farwatun. That is the fall of an animal that is made as a mat, for instance, or as a rug. So that is called what? Al-Farru, or Al-Farwat, the plural is what? Al-Fira. Wal-Busut, the plural of Al-Bisat. So that's also a carpet. For very Imam al-Mafarish, and other than the two, among the Mafarish, things that are spread that people can sit on. عن ابن عباس أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى على بساط. From Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم observed salah on بساط, on a carpet. رواه أحمد بن ماجه. Which means we can observe salah on what? On بساط, on a carpet. The masjid of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم was not rugged, nor was it carpeted during its time. And another talk of being tied. So it was just sandy. So people pray on ordinary sand. But That doesn't mean that people will not pray on watch, on discharge, or on watch, on khumrah. There was something that you call khumrah. Khumrah is just like a carpet, so to say, or a piece of cloth that is just according to the size of the edge that you can place your head on. It is only your head you place on it, while the rest of the body will be on ordinary manch. So they will do that. The hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, "Nawilini al-khumra, nawilini al-khumrata an al-masjid. Go and bring me the khumra from the masjid." And she said, "Was inni ahij, I'm menstruating." And the Messenger of Allah said, "Inna haydataki laysa fi yadik, your haid is not in your hands. Your haid is not in your hands." As well as they interpreted it in two ways. That is, you are not the one responsible for your haid. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written on the daughters of Adam. Or inna haydataki laysa fi yadik. That is, the blood of haid is not in your hands. So go and get me, watch the khumrah. So some of the scholars who say the haid can stay in the masjid, they use it as evidence. But those who say the haid cannot stay in the masjid, they say that is not an evidence. Because the difference between somebody that is doing wudu and somebody that is what? Staying. So what is wrong is for the haid to stay in the masjid, not for her to do wudu, that is to pass in the masjid. So the shahid here is that they will use what? Khumrah. They will use khumrah, that is a piece of cloth that was cut according to the size of the forehead where somebody can place his head. And they will use what? They will use bisach. They will use bisach. So they will use hasil, a mat, carpet. But this was not spread in the masjid of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the way we have it today in our masjid. The author brought this to tell us that we can pray using al-busuj. We can pray using al-busuj. وعن المغيرة بن شعبة قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي على الحصير. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would observe salah on al-hatir, that is mat, wal-farwati al-madbugha, likewise the fur of an animal that have been tanned. Rawahu Ahmad wa Abu Dawud. Wan Abi Sa'id أنه دخل على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال فرأيت يصلي على حصير يركض عليه رواه مسلم. أبو سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه said he entered upon the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and he saw him observing Salah على حصير on a mat يركض عليه prostrating on it. الإمام مسلم reported this. وعن ميمونة قالت from ميمونة she said كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي على الخمرة. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم observed Salah placing his head on the خمرة. رواه الجماعة إلا الترمذي. The جماعة reported this except at Trimidi. لكنه له في رواية ابن عباس. له من رواية ابن عباس. So he has watched the report of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. When Abi Darda called Ma Ubali law sallaytu ala khamsi tanafisa, I don't care if I pray on five tanafis. Tanafis, the plural of tum fasa, that is like what? Like a carpet or a match. So Rawah al-Bukhari fi tarikhi. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported this in his tarikh. Babu Salafi Na'alayn wal-Khufayn. This subtask to do with observing Salah in your shoes or sandals and al khuffain in your khuf, in the khuf. That is the khuf is a leather socks. And Abi Maslama Sa'id bin Yazid qala sa'altu Anasan akana nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yusalli fina alayhi qala na'am muttafaqun alayhi. Al-Imam al-Bukhari and Al-Imam al-Muslim reported the hadith of Anas, who was asked by Sa'id bin Yazid, would the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pray in his shoes or sandals? He said yes. So this tells us we can observe salah and watch in our shoes, in our sandals. We can observe salah in our shoes, in our sandals. However, doing this must be with watch, with hikmah. I mentioned earlier that the masjid during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not rugged nor carpeted. Was not rugged nor carpeted. So mat were not spread in the masjid of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they will observe salah using their watch, their sandals and their shoes. You know, there was a day the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, he entered the masjid and he was observing salah in his shoes, and all of a sudden he took them off. And the companions, they saw him do that, so they also took off theirs. After the salah, he said, Mali ra'aytukum alqaytum ni'alakum. Where is it that I saw you people taking off your sandals? He said, Ra'aynaka alqayta ni'alayka falqayna ni'alana. We saw you take off your sandals and we took off ours. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Jibreel atani fa akhbarani anna bihima hadaran. Jibreel came to me and informed me that what there was filth in them. Then he instructed them, if any one of you comes to the masjid, so he should look at his sandals. Fan wajar fi adan fi ma adan falim sahu ha bil arj. If any one of you comes to the masjid and he finds in it a filth, he should rub it against the ground. Falisalli fihima, and he should pray in them. So this is with respect to a place that was not rubbed nor carpeted, so you can pray in it. Now we have masajid that are tied, rubbed or carpeted. Even if it's ordinary mat that are spread in the masjid, is not proper for you to now say you want to apply the hadith that Anas radiallahu anhu said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will pray in his sandals. We say yes, he will pray in his sandals, but this will be and watch in a place where there was no rug, no mat, no. But if you insist that you want to pray in your sandals, in your shoes, in a place that has a rug or mat or ties, you can do that at home. Now you can do that at home. So you can pray using your sandals, your shoes at home. But for you to take it to the masajid of today and they say there is evidence that you can pray in sandals, so one will be shooting oneself in the leg. And if me what, it affect the sunnah. Because if the baba, they see one doing this, they what, they speak against the sunnah. As somebody did that in Yemen, and they entered the masjid with his shoes, and the people, they attacked him, and he said, it's sunnah. He who said what? A'udhu billahi min hadhihi sunnah. What type of sunnah is this? So he has led them to say things that is evil about the sunnah, because he has misapplied the what? The hadith. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for instance, said watch, Al-busaku fil masjid khati'a wa kafaratuha dafnuha. When you speak in the masjid, is what is a sin, and the kafara for that is dafnuha, is for you to bury it. So somebody speaks here now, on this side, how is he going to do the dafnu? How is he going to bury it? He can't bury it. He cannot bury it. So, and that's why the message that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed with his shoes and sandals, it's not the same masjid of today. So when we want to apply the ahadith, we should watch, we should know how to apply it. Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, in some of his audios, mentioned something like this, and he quoted this hadith that I've just quoted, that is the hadith of what Al-Busawq al-Maltij. So this application of ahadith has brought a lot of retrogression for what? For the Sunnah. As a result of what? Youthful exuberance. And that's why it is very, very important that we stick to what the senior scholars are upon. What the senior scholars are upon. Don't go away from what? From their path and their understanding. It matters a lot. It matters a lot. Most of the setback that we are seeing today with respect to what? To the spread of Islam is as a result of youthful exuberance. So let us try to get this clearly. So inshallah, we stop here. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Sorry, okay, there's one. Sorry. One Shaddad bin Aus رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خالف اليهود فإنهم لا يصلون في نعالهم ولا خفافهم رواه أبو داود. Shaddad bin Aus رضي الله عنه said the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said خالف اليهود contradict or go against the Yahud in their practices. فَإِنَّمْ لَا يُصَلُّونَ فِي نِعَالِهِمْ وَلَا خِفَافِهِمْ. For they will not pray in their shoes and watch in their leather socks. So we have talked about the issue of what al-mukhalafa and what at-tashabbu. That is mukhalafatu al-mushrikeen wal-kuffar, acting contrary to what? To them, likewise, tashabbu bihim, emulating them. Now when we talk about tashabbu bihim, this has to do with what has been part and parcel of them. That is, they are known with this. So Islam does not want us to copy them in what they are doing. This is something that they are known with. Islam does not want us to copy them, to emulate them. But mukhalafa may not necessarily be what they are known with. But they are doing something this way. You can decide to do it this way. You can decide to do it the other way. So this is what mukhalafa. But tashabbu has to do with something that they are really known with. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sometimes says, "Tashabbah bikawmin, for huwa minhum." So whoever emulates a people as the compass and pastor of them, because it's something that differentiates and distinguishes them from other people. But mukhalafa may not necessarily be what distinguishes them from other people. But it is good if the Muslims try to watch to do something in a different way. Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah will always say that when these wristwatches were introduced, those who introduced it, they will put it in the left hand. Then if you, as a Muslim, you have to wear it, if you want to wear it, it is good you do mukhalafa. That is, wear it in the right hand. So if you wear it in the right hand, is there a hadith that says you put your wristwatch in? No, there is no hadith. But they are doing this this way. Let me do ours this way. But it doesn't have the same thing as what at tashabbu. Mukhalafa is that you are doing this way, I will do it this way. Since it doesn't affect me,
If it affects me, for instance, that's a different thing. So just try to watch, to do things in a different way. Try to do things in a different way. But when it has become something that is commonplace, for instance, in that case, you may not be calling for what? For mukhalafa. Take, for instance, when these issues of shirt and trouser or t-shirt were just introduced, the scholars would say what? People should watch, do mukhalafa. We are not talking about t-shirts or trousers and all this that expose the aura. No, that one is what? You have to take that, speak against that. But the t-shirt, the trouser, doesn't, do not expose the aura. But it's something that the kuffar will put on. Okay? The scholars encourage that you put on your watch, your jallabiyah. This is the dress that you are known with. But later, as time went on, the Muslim countries, the Arabs, they got used to watch to that dress. So the scholars, they will say there is no need for watch, for saying one should do mukhalafa, because it has become part and parcel of watch, your own way, your dressing too. But let's assume that maybe we are just seeing 1, 2, 3, 4 people dressing that way. So the scholars may say, don't dress this way. Continue with your own watch, your own way. Not because that thing does not fulfill what the requirement, but just to act in a way contrary to what some people will do. Because when you try to emulate them, you are giving them what? Upper hands over you. You are trying to promote their culture. And there is nothing that says what? You must follow them. And that's why I see some scholars who say, okay, the issue of putting, wearing your wristwatch in your left hand, there's nothing wrong with that. Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah used to emphasize it. And a lot of us today, you wear your watch, your wristwatch on your right. Some of us may not know the reason why you are doing that. It was Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah that championed wearing the wristwatch on watch, the right hand. Why people like Sheikh Mimbaz, Sheikh Al-Nutaymin and many others do not see it that way? They see it as something that they watch. And since there is no text that says, and wearing it in the right or on the right does not really make that much impact, so to say. So what I'm trying to say is that mukhalafa is different from what? Tashabbu. Tashabbu, that is when you are going into their watch, into maybe doing ibadah the way they do ibadah, or introducing some things. So this is what, where tashabbu comes in. But mukhalafa is what does not really have watch. Maybe text in your deen that you should do it this way, but you just decide to watch, to contradict or to act contrary to the kuffar. This is good. Huh? Ibn Khaldun said, watch, Al-Maghloobun Mu'la'un Bittiba'il Ghalib. Al-Maghloobun Mu'la'un Bittiba'il Ghalib. The conquered is always fond of following the conqueror. A lot of us today, we think the way the Westerners, the way they think, and we believe their watch, they are superior. So we want to dress the way they dress. Anything they do, that is what is correct. You want to bow or have your hair cut the way they watch, they have their hair cut. So we approve all that they do, even if it is rubbish. Because we believe that they wouldn't have watched, gotten to this level, if they have not been doing this thing that they are doing. So when you try to retain your culture, your own way, since Islam has not said watch, you must not do that, it's good. And that's why you see some of the people in the Khalij, in the Gulf countries, you see them, they still watch, maintain their watch, their dresses. You see a king, for instance, or an Amir also will still put on his white jallabiyah. The layman on the street, white jallabiyah. The king, the minister, white jallabiyah with what? With their shimag. Even if they are traveling to America, they don't mind. They don't bloody care. And that's why these people, they are still better than us here. They are still better than us. The way we follow the Americans and the Britons, those people are still far, far better. Yes, they also fall for them. But we fall for the Americans and the Britons more than them. Most of us today, if you are traveling to America, you look for a very good shirt. You iron it and what? You're putting on your agbada here in what, in Nigeria. But as you are going out, you want to dress like them when you get there. But then they will still dress like that. They will go there, they will dress like that. Yes, they will also put on shirt, trousers, coat and the like. But they still maintain their culture. Part of their culture they want to eat, they put down tray, big tray, they will eat everybody. They still practice this. Huh? Do we practice that? No, when we go out, we're looking for fork and knife. Then you'll be eating with what? With your left hand. A brother that practices sunnah will also be what? Will be shy. When he gets there, when he sees friends who are eating with fork and what? With left, and he will what? He'll be forced to be doing that. But these people, they don't care. They put down the tray, they put down that, what do you call it? The Arabs, they call it fafra, that you just spread that this thing, and they will eat there. They put meat, both the king and everybody will be dipping their hand and they will be eating from what? So today we see our brothers here criticizing this. Wallahi, they are far, far better than us. When we look at what we have compromised of the deen, they are things far, far better. Yes, they are selling out. But we are selling out more. We are selling out more. Some of the achievements here, we are here to achieve them here. Some of our brothers will say what, when we talk about weaponry, they are what, they are weak. As if you are living in a country that can what, that can destroy this kuffar we are talking about. People who are what, who have these things with which they are what, they are intercepting what is being fired by the Iranians. Wallahi, I respect them more. More than 5,000 missiles and drones, more than 90% of these were intercepted. Wallahi, if 10% of it were to be fired to Nigeria or part of Nigeria, would have become what? They tell me they are not spending on weapons. If you want to spend on weapons, what would they do? I caught some of our brothers who are living in Dubai, particularly, I think, Abu Dhabi. I said, how you feel? He said, what? We were just hearing this interception of the thing, that we were not really feeling it. So it is only few people that were what, affected. I caught another person happened back in Saudi Arabia. He said the border very close to Kuwait. He said similar thing. Then he said these people, they are sleeping, they are just eating carnets, they are eating Yes, we are not saying they are doing it the way the companions did Islam. But if you are looking for people who practice this Islam the way the companions practice it, you will see. You will never see. As bad as these people, particularly the Saudi, whatever, as bad as you say they are, wallahi, over centuries, we have not seen people like them. You have to go back to the era of the Umayyad dynasty before you can get people like them. The Sheikh has just taught us some things on what, on Akira, Asma, Wasifat, this. Apart from this Umayyad dynasty, the Abbasid dynasty, they were preaching what? The Aqidah of Mu'tazila, and the government was spending tremendously on the spread of Aqidah of Mu'tazila. Al-Imam Ahmad was in prison, tortured, because of what? Because of the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah. Here is a government that is promoting, sponsoring, spreading, printing the words of people like Al-Imam Ahmad and the likes. Who was Ibn Taymiyyah? Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Taymiyyah, if not for this country or the Saudi, whatever, Ibn Taymiyyah's wars have been abandoned. It was the Aqidah of the Ashaira that was commonplace. The government have spent so much on it. You go to Azhar today, they spend what? On Aqidah Sharia. You go to Morocco, the same thing. Algeria, the same thing. Turkey, the same thing. All those governments are spending on the Aqidah of the Ashaira to fear. Then we have a government that is promoting the Aqidah of Ahli Sunnah al Jama'ah, the Aqidah of the companions, the Aqidah of Imam Ahmad. They will now be saying what? They are sponsoring dancing. Other countries are not sponsoring dancing. The one who is sponsoring dancing and is also sponsoring the Aqidah of the watch of the Ahli Sunnah Jama'ah is better than the one that is sponsoring dancing and what? The Aqidah of the Ashaira and the Mu'tazila and the Sufiya. So brothers, don't let people watch deceive you with all this. Wallahi, you have been what? You have been sincere with what you are saying. But when some people hear this, some people will say, what? You're on the Saudi payroll. Which payroll is that? Those who are collecting salary on a monthly basis from what is Arashul Islamia are not saying what you are saying. And this is the blunt truth. There are hundreds of them here in Nigeria collecting money on a monthly basis. Which amount of money? They are not saying this. Some of them keep quiet. Or some of them will be speaking ill of what? Of the government. I think this is what? The worst of the government. And that's why Sheikh bin Baz alayhi rahmatullah in his fatwa said, this country, that is referring to the Saudi country, said what? Is a country that is blessed. And when we talk about promoting the Aqidah of what? Of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, he said, we have not seen a country like that unless if you go back to the era of the Khulafa'u al-Rashidun, maybe the era of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and the likes, the Umayyad dynasty. That is where you can find something like this. But subsequently, you see scholars are in prison, are punished. Why? Because they are saying what? The Aqidah of what? Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah. Ibn Taymiyyah died in prison. Because of what? Giving fatwa with respect to the issue of talaq and the likes. Or because of what? Saying things that are not in line with what the Ashaira of that time were. The Sheikh taught us Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah. That Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah, Ibn Taymiyyah, had teachings with the Qudaj and the what? The ulama of the Madhaib who are upon the Ash'ari Aqidah. That is, they questioned him, they interrogated him because of that book. But you today just pick the book you read. You pick the book you read, which is. But this same Aqidah, Ibn Taymiyyah was what? In prison for something like this. But you see people who are in prison in Saudi Arabia today, is because what? Most of them are doing something of what? Khuruj, inciting the masses against the leader, which is against the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah. You don't incite the masses against the ruler. So if they are in prison for this reason, they deserve to be imprisoned. Not because they are telling you that what Al-Asma was sifat and this, not because of that, but because they are what? They are not abiding by the hadith of what? Man ra'a min amirihi shay'an yakrahu falyaghfir alayhi. We see somebody writing and saying, look, yes, they do this, they do that, they do that. This is against the sunnah itself. It's against the hadith that you reach. So not Allah la'afiyata wa salama. Subhanaka la umri hamdik ashara la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Okay, one more.
Now the first question, how does one revive the forgotten sunnah? Says by practicing it. So when you practice it and you have what your evidence for it, those who want to know will ask you and you provide them with what? With evidence. But if what you mean by forgotten sunnah is something like this praying in what? In sandals, I think you have we have what? Explained much. We have explained that much. Why? Because the hadith had the situation where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam implemented it, applied it. So you should not take it away from those contexts, so to say. Context, don't take it away from the context or the area that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam applied it. Take for instance now, if people are not observing, a good example, we travel, when we come back from travel, most of us will just go into our homes, into our houses. It is sunnah to observe what? Two rakah in the masjid. So if you go to the masjid and observe two rakah, this is what? Reviving a forgotten sunnah. Nobody will fight you for that. But if one comes to the masjid with what? With his canvas, and he says what? He wants to observe what? Salah with the canvas. You can, I can, you cannot, I can. Then we start what? We start fighting over that. And he says, well, there is a hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Khalifu Yahuda, fa innahum la yusalluna fi ni'alim wa la khifatihim. You say, welcome. But when the Messenger of Allah did that, he did it, yes. Huh? In a masjid that was not rug or carpeted. So you have carpeted your masjid, you have rugged your masjid now. So are you still going to apply it? This is going to stain the garments of the people. So this is going to stain the garments of the people. So in a situation like that, so you don't do it. But why are we not saying people should not rug or carpet the masjid? You can't say that. Why? Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed on what? On carpet and what? Rocks. So only they didn't do it that time because of what? The cost. Or because what it will watch, it will take. But it's not haram to do it. Wallahu a'lam. Now, mukhalafa, somebody who is living in what? In an environment where the Jews or the non-Muslims are what? Are very much around. So he finds himself as a strange person here. I am going to do mukhalafa here. It is good for us as Muslims to try to live in what? In the midst of the Muslims. Unless there is what? A need for that. And that's why the Messenger of Allah said, أَنَا بَرِيءٌ مِنْ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ يُقِيمُ بَيْنَ هَذْهُرِي الْمُشْرِكِينَ. I'm free from a Muslim who lives in the midst of the Mushrikun. So because we'll not be able to watch to practice his religion. But if he doesn't have the means to go out of that place, now you can live Allah unasan illa usa'a. So the issue of mukhalafa here, he will also consider if he may be armed. If he may be armed, if he try to do mukhalafa. So wallahu
a'lam. Now, can a man sleep between his two wives? Right, left, the
same. If they both like it, and they are not, they do not expose the aura. If they do not expose the aura, maybe the man and his wife, both of them can watch, can be together, and they can expose what the aura to watch a large extent. But once there is a third party, whether the second wife or maybe another person, so this will not be watched. This will not be okay. But scholars have what answered questions like that. And a man, if you check Al-Mughni of Ibn Qudama, he talked about things like that. Many other scholars, a man is sleeping between his wives. No harm, as long as the aura is not what exposed. So he can do that. Now,
That is not the standard. A man is marrying two wives in a room. It's not the standard. It's not okay. But is it haram? Scholars will tell you, if they watch, they do not expose the aura. And when the man is having intercourse with the other will not be watched. Present. Will not be present. So, some of our babas, you know, they practice something like this. I'm not talking of you that live in VI and the likes of. We're talking about people who live in areas like Ajegun and the likes. Some of the babas, they practice something like that. They marry two wives in a single room. So I wonder how they work to manage that. No, you shouldn't expose his aura. You shouldn't expose his aura. The fact that he's between both of them does not mean what he should what expose his aura. So scholars will just bring something like this, they just talked about it. But I'm telling you that practically, we saw it in our own society. Some of our fathers, they practiced this in the past. Just marrying one wife or two wives in a single room. I know of somebody who was a bit okay then. He had his own room and parlor, though he rented the apartment. Then the wives, so they had bed space is so to say, in a room. But if they had to watch, if they had to see him or he had to see them, they would come to his own room and parlor. So he was the one using room and parlor. The wives were managing just a single room. So funny things. But the scholars have talked about things like this. But the basis is that a woman must have what? A separate apartment with what? The kitchen and what? And the bathroom. That's the basis. Every wife must have this. This is the basis. Why did I say bathroom? I said bathroom because this is what used to operate during the time of the Messenger of Allah. If you wanted to answer number two, do you call it number two? So they will have to go to the what you call what? Manasseh, that is, they will go far away from what? The town, to go and answer the call of nature, number two, to go and defecate. But urination, they have what? Each one of them had what? Where they will urinate, where they will take their bath. In watch in their apartment and that's where they will cook. That's the basis. But today people are living in watch in affluence. You see what, just a wife living in watch in a old building, even if she's not she hasn't had what children, no children, she's the only one. So there will be vacant rooms, and you will see that as what the standard. That is not the standard. That is not the standard. So, wallahu a'lam. Mm-hmm. Now, in a masjid like this, is it okay for the imam to have the touch? That is a rug or a hasir, a mat, or what they call sajada, that is the prayer mat. Is it okay? If others do not have, it is good the imam does not have to, so that they will look what? They will look the same. During the time of Al-Imam Malik alayhi rahmatullah, it was said that Abdurrahman bin Mahdi Rasul came to the masjid of Medina. He brought a mat
of his own and spread it in the masjid of the foot of Allah. So Imam Malik said you should go and watch, they should go and detain him. They should go and detain him for doing that. It's like, watch, you want to single yourself out of the people. So it's not okay to do that. Though, I'm not saying that when you see people bringing their mask to, but it's not the watch, it's not the bed. Others are not making use of frog. They're not, you bring your own prayer mat. And watch, you are the only one using it in the shop. All others are not using the prayer mat. You are in the same shop to them. This is what is worse of it. Unless if there is watch, there is a genuine reason for that. Maybe the person has an ailment that warrants that he uses that. But for you to say, okay, I'm so clean, I'm so... So you now differentiate yourself, you distinguish yourself from others. This is exactly what Imam Malik Ali Rahmatullah tried to prevent. Despite the fact that Abdurrahman bin Mahdi and Ali Rahmatullah was a big scholar. But Imam Malik Ali Rahmatullah said no. He should be detained for doing this. He should be detained for doing this. So, nas'Allah al-Qiyat wa salam. Now, Tahiyyat al-Masjid. Is it compulsory?
Yes.
Tahiyyat al-Masjid, according to most scholars, is not compulsory. And that is the way they are opinion. It is sunnah that is mu'akkada, that is emphatic. So, particularly when you come in and you have ablution. But when you don't have ablution, must you perform ablution to observe it? Sheikh Al-Albani said yes. You have to perform ablution whenever you enter the masjid to observe the tahiyyat al-masjid. For most scholars, they say even when you have ablution, it's not compulsory. Because of the hadith of the three men that came into the masjid while the Messenger of Allah was delivering watch, was addressing the people. So one of them sat in the middle of the watch, the halqa, one sat behind, and the third one left. They said, why it to be compulsory? The Messenger of Allah instructed them to watch, to observe it. Now, as for the hadith that the Messenger of Allah said, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَدُكْمُ الْمَسْجِدْ فَلَا يَجِدْ حَتَّى يُصَلِّيَ رَكَعَتَيْنِ فَلْيَتَجَوَّزْ فِي إِمَا. He said, this amru or the nahyu, yes, is what? It's al-istihbab or al-karaha, not the tahrim. So, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen alayhi rahmatullah, one of the evidences that he used to say, tahiyyat al-masjid is not conformed, is that the Messenger of Allah himself, whenever it was on Friday, and what he came into the masjid to just move directly to watch to remember and he will teach. He will make a theme and he will teach. So why to be compulsory to observe the here to masjid? He would have done it. So the scholars differ on it, but what most scholars are upon, there is no compulsory. However, that doesn't mean that one should avoid it or should abandon it. One should do it. But when you see somebody who doesn't do it, this is where what we are talking about. So it is difficult for you to attack people, because when you're attacking somebody who is loaded with evidence, and you just say what my sheikh says. So, Allahu a'lam. Subhanaka wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.